Right now it is time for the Berkshire Edge on air. The BerkshireEdge.com is a spot to go to for 24 hours a day news information emanating out of South County and surrounding areas as well in Massachusetts. And we welcome in Marcy and David on Wednesday mornings. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Just a minute. We're both here, but only one of us has a phone. Hold on one second.
That's okay.
Here we go. Now the other one will have a phone. Here. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, David.
David, are you there? I think somehow David hung up on us.
Oh. Hello?
I can hear you, Marcy. Yeah. I can hear you.
David is. David.
There he is.
Here he is. Okay. Sometimes we're technologically challenged early in the morning.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with being technologically challenged. That's why I got into radio, and it's always a good excuse for just about anything in radio. All right. Well, let's start off. Of course, the BerkshireEdge.com is where you can get all this information and more. We just touch on a few of the stories. You've got leading off here. Everybody wants to know about schools, whether they'll reopen or not with the pandemic, not only in the Berkshires, but here in Connecticut, New York. It's not only private schools, it's public schools, you name it. And you've got you've got a story, especially that delves into like the Hotchkiss School and the Berkshire School and other schools like that, as well as the public schools.
That's right. It seems to be the private schools, in any case, are reopening cautiously, as they say, with in-person learning rather than the remote learning that public schools are. Some public schools are trying. The problem with that the remote learning has, I think, is that it depends on people having access to computers, and I don't think everybody does. You know, so it's assumed that they do, but I don't think not every student in every household is going to have a computer that is going to be able to get online.
Yeah,
you know?
if you go to Berkshire School or Hotchkiss School, you do.
That's right. But if you don't,
matter of fact, your father or mother probably.
No, that's what I'm just saying.
Your father or mother probably own the company.
Yeah, well, ironically, some of the schools where presumably the parents and students can afford to have the tools for online learning, they're going to, you know, in-class learning.
It's pretty interesting. Hotchkiss is going to quarantine the students in their rooms for 2 weeks,
and I
know it's also Berkshire School is doing something similar, not exactly the same, and then they're all going to gradually, if everything, knock on my head, would works out well, they're all going to go to they'll show up at classes, and sooner or later they'll add sports and stuff back into the schedule. But it's going to be it's going to be like the public school. It's going to be an experiment at first.
It's going to be gradual.
My question
is this: do people have the broadband? Is there the infrastructure? Forgetting the fact that
there's not enough.
The answer is not.
Right,
I mean, look, certainly in the Berkshires, we don't have good internet everywhere.
Yeah,
that's right.
There's just a couple of assumptions that might need to be
That's what I'm saying is that some students might not, from home, just might not have access to, they're living somewhere, where they're not connected, and they don't have, broadcast internet either. So. It's a real problem.
Yeah,
right.
it's, and like I said.
Well, and also we had an article the day before about Simon's Rock, Bard College at Simon's Rock, and they are also opening very carefully.
Well, on Friday morning, we're going to have the superintendent of Region 1 come on and talk with us, because the way the high school is opening and the way the independent elementary schools in Region 1 are opening are different. Mm-hmm. And we've waited as long as we possibly could, because she's going to give a definitive statement as of Friday. But I think almost everybody knows these definitive statements that are made
are subject to
are
change.
Really subject to change. I mean, don't you
can't. As they should be.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing. And hopefully, after all of this, people are a little more, you can't know. You don't know what you don't know. You can only try.
Right, that's right.
I just don't want people pointing fingers when we're 3 or 4 weeks in and things change drastically. The administrators are doing what they're doing as the information they have supplied when they do it.
Right. And,
that's it.
And much of this is the old drawing board versus reality thing. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, not only that, we don't have any leadership on this nationally. And it's just a catastrophe.
Yeah, it's
it
a
makes
problem.
A difference. This is leaving every school district in the country to figure out its own plan. Now, there's something to be said for that, of course, because every school district understands its own local situation. But on the other hand, there should be a national effort for curriculum development, for solutions to at-home learning.
For financing it is the biggest issue.
There's no reason why this has to be done only locally. Options could be offered to the local school districts, that can be chosen according to their local situation, but to have no guidance from anybody and there are experts who could be guiding, a national effort, and we don't have anything like that.
Now, we're going to talk about distance learning with James Taylor, because James Taylor, of course, appears at Tanglewood and Parade. But it's, once again, a what, David?
It's a Zoom.
A virtual parade.
Don't mention that name.
That's right.
What name? Zoom?
Zoom.
Yes, I know. There's Zoom funerals now.
I know.
Yep. And, right. And Zoom meetings of all sorts that I don't know if you guys attend, but we have to attend. And I find them just... so frustrating. It's it's pretend being in person.
it's
frustrating.
And the problem is technologically, people are talking over each other.
That's the whole thing. Some people have headsets. Some people are using the computer with their speakers on. Some people are even joining in via telephone. And you have so many different formats mixed into one. It's sometimes you just can't hear it. You have to turn it off.
Plus, it's the Brady Bunch.
Yeah. Yeah, with all the video.
What prompted this was that, Tanglewood has one of its premier events of the summer is Tanglewood on Parade. And this year it's going to be hosted by James Taylor, but it's a retread.
Yeah, that's right.
So he's just going to be introducing.
Yeah.
Well, it's still something anyway.
It's something.
And he's offering up his time to host it so more people watch it. So give James Taylor a lot of credit.
He's a local guy, actually.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
You know, he's
also been extremely supportive of Tanglewood. Every year he does either 3 or 4 concerts.
He used to live in Connecticut
for Tanglewood.
He used to live in West Cornwall, Connecticut.
Oh, really?
And he opposed somebody that was going to do mining, and basically they ran him out of town. Honest to gosh.
Oh, really?
He went back to Massachusetts, where it was even more relaxed.
Yeah, he went back to Massachusetts and said, enough of these nutmeggers.
He went to Williams.
Yeah.
Actually.
Did he? Oh.
Yes, he did. Well, he was he's a friend of a friend of mine. One of my best friends lives in southern Vermont, and they were classmates at Williams together. And In any case, another story. But James is a real presence. And his kids, by the way, went to Berkshire Country Day School in Lenox.
And he and his wife also headed a fundraiser, a fundraising campaign
for COVID-19.
Berkshire Country Day to.
Yep.
And also,
they're very involved.
How about the money they raised for the hospital? Because his wife's family, he is who he is, whether you like him or not. His music is terrific, and you know what? He is a person that has always been for people, and that's the whole thing. Yeah, I was always amazed at the reaction he got out of Cornwall. But let's stay with Tanglewood for a moment.
Yeah, what's up with Cornwall anyway?
Everybody asks that.
They're still stuck in the 60s. Okay, so anyway, Tanglewood has a series of online video performances that they've been doing.
That's right. That's what Tanglewood is, and a lot of these musical and a lot of these performance venues have had to do. I mean, there's no other way to maintain themselves, and so Tanglewood is producing a series of online performances, and the next one is coming up is a pianist of Conrad Tau is his name, and the concert is reviewer David Edwards has a nice story about it, so people should go look at it.
All right, and that's Conrad Tau, not Comrade.
Conrad.
Oh, yes.
No,
well,
no,
you said it right.
I just for the people that are listening who think Comrade Tau. No, you said it right. It's Conrad.
Right.
Oh, names that we're not going to be able to use anymore. I can't wait.
Oh yeah.
Oh gosh. Oh anyway. Now you've got.
But also, I just learned yesterday. We haven't written about it yet. But on August 28th, the Berkshire Opera Company is doing a video concert. Also, we'll have something about this soon. We just got a press release yesterday.
They sent me a press release on that too.
Yeah.
And the Sharon Playhouse has done these drive-in concerts now. They've done three of them. Where they get 52 cars in, and they do two shows a weekend, and they've been sold out, and they don't make a ton of money, but they keep people interested and entertained, keep your mind off what's going on, and all these organizations that are digging deep and finding ways to keep people entertained and enjoying with their nonprofits. I give them all the credit in the world because this is not an easy situation.
No, well, I mean, we have here in the Berkshires, we had Barrington Stage, spent a lot of time and money outfitting their theaters so that they could seat people, like 6 seats apart. And at the very last minute, the governor said they couldn't do that. So they've gotten themselves a tent in the parking lot of the Colonial Theater in Pittsfield, and they're performing there. Berkshire Theater Festival. It's the Berkshire Theater Festival that's in the parking lot of the Colonial, the Barringtons, and they're doing Godspell, and Barrington Stage has another tent in Pittsfield, and they're doing a variety of performances this summer. And they are sold out too, and there are drive-in movies on the grounds of Shakespeare and Company in partnership with the Berkshire International Film Festival, and at Bard College at Simon's Rock, the Mahawi Theater in Great Barrington is doing drive-ins on the weekend, drive-in movies. So, people have become very creative, and it's really wonderful.
And the other thing is.
That in downtown Great Barrington, there are now two major locations where we have kind of these food courts.
Yep.
And we went last Friday night. We went out to dinner, and it was outside. They've shut off in Great Barrington. They've shut off lane of Railroad Street, and then also there's a very big. Parking lot outside of the triplex movie theater in Great Barrington, and that is all filled with tables from a variety of different restaurants. And the town is packed on the weekends. I mean, people are so eager to go out.
And you know what? All these things that these people are doing is not because of the expense and setting them up and everything like that. They're not making a ton of money, but
no.
They are keeping active and they are keeping the public involved. And it's just a very smart thing to do. And you know what? They're not just sitting back and taking it. So congratulations to everybody who's doing this.
I have great admiration for them all.
Yep.
And they're, you know, one restaurant told us, you know, that they are 100% at 50%.
Yeah, that's it. What can you do?
But that is only because it's warm out. You know, I really am very fearful about what's going to happen to all these restaurants when it starts to get cool and nobody wants to
tents
sit outside.
And domes.
Well, let's see if climate change can kick in for just one.
Well, you know what? We've been lucky this summer. It's been rather dry.
Yeah.
Yes.
Even though
it's cold today.
Well, you guys have been lucky up there. We've had tornadoes and tropical storms.
Yeah, right. It's
been a little. Let's just stick with for a moment. Instead of being careful, let's stick with necessity as the mother of invention and see what these guys come up with.
And they're doing a great job.
Yeah. Right.
Now, this is an interesting story because I always think it's great to take national and international things and bring them down to the local level. And one of your correspondents wrote a piece about a democracy and how it is fleeting in Hong Kong.
Yes. He was there, right.
Yeah, he was there. Victor Feldman, he's been a correspondent for us, and he's now at...
Well, he started with us in high school.
He was a high school intern.
And now he's a college graduate, and he's a very bright and interesting young man.
Right. And he's written a fascinating look at the protests in Hong Kong. It's a really interesting look from which we don't. From an American perspective, we don't, of course, cover that, except that he just happened to be there.
Well, it ties down into what's going on in Hong Kong. Ties down into anybody who's interested in seeing democracy and then seeing.
Yeah.
Non-democracies and seeing and understanding what the Chinese promised years ago and what just about 99.9% of the people thought they would deliver, which was beg out of that situation a lot earlier. So it does tie down to the local level. It really does because Hong Kong is a very important financial piece to China, always has been and now always will be. And now it's going to be interesting to see their next stop on Taiwan to see what happens with that, seeing as they've managed to do this with Hong Kong.
Well, Taiwan is a separate country now.
Yeah, yes.
Chinese don't think
No, but it's not. I mean, it's not. It doesn't have the relationship with
true. Everything.
The
when
Republic,
was this supposed to happen? 2050?
Yeah. So but
yeah. Anyways,
it's a great story because I think local people should be aware of international and national things, especially.
Well, I think there is also the other issue is that. The democracy seems to be at risk right now,
around the world.
And this is one example of it.
We're facing it here. Yeah, it is a rocky period.
In this country.
It is a rocky period for democracy throughout the world. There's no doubt
about it.
It is. I want to get away from the bad news. Go to your next story, which is Carolyn Neuberger.
Oh yes, she's always good news.
Oh yes, well she lives. She and her husband Eli. Eli is this brilliant writer about music.
Also,
he also writes for us and writes reviews of. Well, he would be writing reviews of Tanglewood, his wife, though, is quite the naturalist, and she's been writing chapter after chapter of her exploration of the of the natural world around their house in Lenox, which is buried in the woods, I must say.
This is chapter 52.
Chapter 52.
And we've posted them all.
Right.
And it's wonderful. I mean, she and her dog go out for a walk. These two people, the Neubergers, are incredibly talented, both of them. I mean,
right.
He's an MD, now a retired pediatrician, and a Juilliard graduate who plays the tuba and has his own jazz band. And she is a now retired child psychologist, and she's a very talented artist and writer. And and he is also a talented writer. So we are very lucky that they're involved with us. But Carolyn has been doing this amazing series, really. I mean, she and her dog go out into the woods and observe, and she paints pictures of what she sees. And
yeah, she's quite a good watercolorist.
Very good. And so she describes, over the course of the year, what's happening in the forest.
Well, you go from one dynamic person like that, and I love the story that you have on one of the most energetic balls of energy in the world, and that's Tina Packer. No, really, she's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, you sit down to do a 5-minute interview with her, and it's 35 minutes later, and you're still going. It's amazing.
And not only that, but you enjoy every minute of it.
Yeah, absolutely. So she's involved in something now, which is pretty interesting.
Yes, it is. Well, she's written some short stories, which she calls Tales from Shakespeare. And she's teamed up with another very talented woman, Alison Larkin. And Alison is English and is a writer herself and produces audiobooks.
She's a wonderful reader.
She's a wonderful reader. Yes, that's true. And performer, actually.
Mm-hmm.
She does skits from her writing every so often, and she's just terrific. And they've teamed up to do this series called Tales from Shakespeare, and it's 10 short stories that are put
written
together.
Written by Tina and read by Alison.
Right.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
They're going to do a reading.
In person. Online.
Actually, I'm not sure. It may be in person, but I think it will also be online. They'll be doing a reading from the audiobook. So this Saturday afternoon at Ventford Hall. I know Ventford Hall is having some live events.
People can just
check.
By
the way, I should also say that we are about to launch a whole slew of new articles in the Berkshire Edge online magazine. I mean, this afternoon we will be posting updates on 13 towns in the, including Salisbury, Connecticut. What's happening, what's open, what things there are to do in each one of these towns. So. That should be very helpful to people here to know what's happening in different institutions and what you can still do, even though we have rules now.
Well, the BerkshireEdge.com is the location, and of course, that's where you'll find not only what we've just been talking about, but lots of other stories that involve, yes, South County, but all of the tri-state region.
At least six a day.
That's exactly right. All right, guys. Have a good week. We'll speak to you next week.
Yeah, you too. And stay safe down there.
All right. Take care.
Okay. Bye.
Okay.
That is the Berkshire Edge on air here on Robin Hood Radio. Of course, you find them, theberkshireedge.com, theberkshireedge.com.